A new job often means new clothes. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Retail sales in America went up 0.8% last month. That's quite a bit and more than expected. While it's true that hurricane recovery contributed, that is not the whole story. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
What we're seeing is consumers are finally doing something they haven't done in quite a while. They're buying clothing again. Both women's and men's clothing are picking up quite dramatically. We finally got people with jobs, and they're getting out of their gym clothes, and they're also stepping out. What we're expecting to see this holiday season is a surge in spending at full-service restaurants. It's already picked up.
Diane, did you say men as well as women are buying clothes?
Yes, men have not been buying clothes for a long time, and it is really interesting as men's clothes in particular has actually picked up more rapidly than women's clothes in the retail sales data. And that's off of very low levels, but I think it's because we're finally pulling people back into the labor force who didn't have jobs.
And the man who is arguably the most powerful single economic policymaker maybe in the world is Jay Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, and he did an interview in which he made a point of saying that part of the reason the U.S. economy is so strong is the Federal Reserve where he works. That seemed like a message back to the president who's been critical of the central bank.
You know, Jay Powell stays in his lane, but his lane has been they've been supporting the economy. He made a point to say, listen, we've supported the economy much of the last decade, even when Congress did not. And that's something very important. And he also did a bit of a rebuke to some of the criticism he's received, saying, listen, the economy's still strong. The Fed's job is to pace ourselves and not answer to any one person. If anything, the Federal Reserve answers to Congress, which Jay Powell has good relations with so that he can maintain his independence in decision-making. We know countries that don't have that independence, where politicians take over the decision-making, things go very wrong very fast.
Grant Thornton's chief economist, Diane Swonk, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, if you're not familiar with postage stamps, they tend to be rectangular and some stick by themselves without application of the tongue. I say this because in this electronic world, posting an envelope can seem quaint. I also say this because the U.S. Postal Service just released its results for fiscal 2018, showing a loss of nearly $4 billion, a loss 69% larger than a year earlier. Marketplace's Jed Kim has more.
People sent things through first-class mail 2 billion fewer times last year. That's a problem for a service that is required to deliver mail everywhere, 6 days a week, regardless of snow, rain, heat, you get it. Satish Jindal is president of Ship Matrix.
Whether a letter carrier is putting 5 envelopes in a mailbox or 4, the cost is same, but the revenue drops.
Still, those losses were more than made up for by revenues from larger things we like to order online. John McHugh is spokesman for the Package Coalition.
Package revenues now account for about 30% of all the revenues of the Postal Service.
He says that growth market and new overall rate increases set to take effect in January could help narrow the gap.
The increase of the cost of a first-class stamp will go up by a percentage, the highest ever.
To 55 cents. It'll cost more to ship packages, too. Still, many in Congress say getting into the black is more about cutting employee pensions and health benefits they say are too high. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And Walmart stock is up 1% in pre-market trading after its quarterly results today showed store and online sales going strong. James in Bridgewater, New Jersey, wrote to express his appreciation for the way that Marketplace presents business and economic news at the everyman and everywoman level and offers insights not provided by other news outlets. Now, if you agree with James, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to James and everyone who makes our work possible. What does the world economy look like? I don't know, maybe a neatly stacked pile of steel shipping containers in blue, green, and burgundy. A business journalist has teamed up with a graphic designer and pulled together a book of infographics that has the heft of an atlas. On the line from Berlin is Thomas Ramge, co-author of The Global Economy as You've Never Seen It. It's for the eye, but we're going to try to evoke this for the ear. Thanks for joining us, Thomas.
It's a pleasure, and I'm very grateful that I can be on the show.
The global economy is an idea that is central to our lives, but you can't see it. It's often almost a metaphor. Why did your team set out to try to visualize the world economy?
What we're trying to do in this book is to visualize data and visualize abstract context to lower the entry barriers into the complex world of economics.
So you're trying to use advanced graphic design and infographics and data to explain this stuff so people can explore. Let's just zoom into a couple parts of this. Page 88 and 89, it says the jeans business, the blue jeans business. On the left side of the page, you depict a cartoon pair of blue jeans. On the left side is supposedly off-brand jeans available maybe at a place like Walmart Cheap Jeans. And on the right side of those pants is designer blue jeans that cost a lot of money, about $300. What do you get from looking at that particular part of your graphic?
Are you wearing a jeans right now?
Of course I am. I mean, I'm an American.
The jeans that you're wearing might have traveled, or the parts in it might have traveled more than 30,000 miles before it was put in a store in New York or Los Angeles. So the cotton of your jeans might have been picked in Kazakhstan, or the washing might have been done in Taiwan, and the buttons and ribbons might come from Italy. And the distribution then has been organized in Europe and the United States. And so jeans are very practical examples, and those were the examples we were looking for that make the global economy tangible.
All right, now, Thomas, to page 96. What I'm looking at is a flat map of the world. It is covered in a fuzz of filaments, like someone has spread steel wool across the map of the world. Now, these are not random lines. There are patterns here. What is this?
These are the transport lines of goods and people in the world. And as you might have realized, we didn't draw the borders on it. What we see here is a map how the world in reality is connected. We firmly believe that the global economy is not a zero-sum game, but that if we collaborate on the global scale, if we have competition in fair terms, we all win.
The book is called Global Economy, As You've Never Seen It, 99 ingenious illustrations that put it all together. Mr. Ramge, thank you so much.
I thank you.
He's also technology correspondent for the German business magazine Brand 1 and a writer for The Economist. There's some edgy stuff in that book, including a chart of the pay of a jeans company CEO versus the average worker salary. We also have two infographics that we talked about at marketplace.org if you want to start exploring. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.